Right, so there's no better deal when you're preaching than to be told you can preach whatever you like on. And so that's what I'm doing today, and I'm talking about what is, I think, my favourite topic to talk about, which is union with Christ. Now, that's what we're going to talk about today. So if I can pray, because I need the Lord's help, and then we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's life-giving, that it transforms us, that it renews the heart and makes us alive and, Lord, transforms us. We pray today that you would do that in us, that the seed of your word would be sown in our hearts and produce fruit. Lord, thanks for the opportunity to be here. Would it be your words that speak, your words that move, and Lord, may it not be my words, but yours that are heard. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I wonder if you're one of these people who tends to miss the obvious. I'm one of those people. I'm always doing something to miss the obvious. And not long ago, I almost ran up a several $100 phone bill because I missed the obvious. I got one of those text messages on my phone saying, you're coming up on your full quota of usage, you know, if you get those texts. So I'm coming up on that. And so I limit my phone usage. I really start to limit it. But then I used one of those phone cards one day to call New Zealand. And I didn't really think about this. I thought because I was calling through the phone card, it wouldn't matter. But here I am using a phone card, calling on my mobile phone to New Zealand. And I couldn't work out why I maxed out my limit when all of a sudden I got this massive bill and maxed out my limit. It was because of this hour phone call that I completely forgot about, didn't include in my calculations. Now, thankfully, I begged and pleaded and they let me off. I'm one of these guys who misses the obvious and pays the price for it. And I think that's exactly what happens and has happened in our churches by missing this idea of union with Christ. It's so central, this idea, but we miss a whole lot when we neglect this idea. I'm talking about this reality of being united with Jesus. Now, what is this idea of being united with Jesus? Is that something you hear talked about much? What would you say? Do you understand that idea? And do you think it makes a difference in the Christian life? We're going to look at that today. So what does this mean? First point, first major point I'm going to talk about. What does this idea mean, union with Christ? Well, we understand the idea of a union. Two distinct things become one. So just a couple of examples. One would be a workers' union. And we all know about workers' unions. And so you've got many individual workers, and their voice alone doesn't stand for much. But when they get together as one voice, many people, then it really has much more influence and power. Another one would be marriage. We understand the idea of union in marriage. Very topical at the moment. In marriage, what's mine and what's my wife's, we share the same things. About the only thing we don't share is clothes. We share the same house, we share the same bed, we share the same family, the same address. The two become one in many ways. And even beyond that, we know in that passage in Ephesians, it's a mystery, isn't it, this idea of a union, two become one. Another example is the one Jesus gives us that we've just read out, and that is the example of a grapevine. And so Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 5, he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Now just think about that for a second. Where does the vine stop and the branches start? It's really hard to define it, isn't it? In fact, that's not the point to start thinking about that. Because the vine and the branches are one organism. They're the same sort of being, the same life. They share the same location, the same purpose. They're both there to produce fruit. And they have the same kind of nutrients, and they receive the same care from the vine dresser. And so they're really one. So Jesus is saying, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He's saying that we're one with him in a way that's just profound and powerful. And this is really important, that we share, think about this, if you know Christ, if you belong to him, then you share in all that's his. You share in his position, you share in his family name, you share in his life, you share the same victory, you share the same purpose. This is huge. So to be united with Jesus means that everything that's his is yours. That all that belongs to him is ours. Now, how does this radically change things? Now, when I was a teenager, I'll give an example of what this is like. I saw a pretty good example of this. There was a community golf day. Now, one thing I'm terrible at is golf. I was there, I think I just went to watch. I definitely didn't play. But there was, you know, it was one of those pairs games where you team up and whoever on your pair gets the same score for the hole, you take that score. Now, there was the best golfer around was a guy called Graham. And there was another kid who was playing that day, about 11 years old, and his name was Danny. Now, Danny and Graham were paired up on the same team. Now, obviously, you know, going around that course, at the end of the day, Graham, by far the best golfer of anyone else, that team won. Graham and Danny won. Now, I don't know how many shots or holes Danny did better than Graham, but probably it was Graham's scorecard right through, and it wouldn't have made any difference if Danny was there at all. You know, but in the end, who got the trophy? Both of them got the trophy. Who won? Danny and Graham both won. Danny was included in Graham's victory. So you see the radical difference this makes, is that if we united with Jesus, then his victory, everything that's his, is now ours, and we win through him and in him. This is huge. Now, in Ephesians 1:3, Paul tells us, or God through Paul tells us, what a big difference this makes. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Now, those words in Christ are sort of ones that we gloss over, but how do we get every spiritual blessing? How do we get every single spiritual blessing? It's in Christ. It's through being united with him. Now, think of all the things we get in salvation. As a Christian, what do we get? How is it that we get declared righteous before God? It's because Christ's righteousness is mine. It's because I'm in Christ that his righteousness is mine. Or how is it that we can be loved by God? It's because God loves his Son. This is my Son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. And we're united in his Son, and so we love the same way that Christ is loved. How is it we can be victorious over sin and death? Because Jesus was victorious over sin and death. And how is it that we can live a fruitful, God-glorifying life? Because Christ is the perfect person and he lives in us. Now, here's a quick look at some of the ways the scripture speaks about union with Christ in the present. Now, think about these. This is about not just what we will receive in the future, but right now the difference our union with Christ makes right now. Galatians 2:19-20, it says that we have been crucified with Christ. It says in Colossians 3:1 that we have been raised with Christ. So this is all in the present. This has already happened. Colossians 3:3, our lives are, you have died and your lives are hidden with Christ in God. Made alive in Christ. Colossians 2:13, so we are or have been made alive in Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:27, we are part of his body. And Romans 8:17, we are co-heirs with him. And then because of our union with Christ in the future, we'll be glorified with him, we'll reign with him. So no wonder this idea is critical in the Christian life, because it covers everything. It covers everything. So how important is this idea? Second major point, how important is union with Christ? You know, the more you look at the scriptures, this is something that's grown as a concept to me over the years, but the more I look at the scriptures, the more two things become clear. One is just how central this idea is, as I've said, and second, how amazingly neglected it is in the churches, and amazingly neglected it is in our language, I think, as Christians, how we talk about the Christian life. Why is this? Partly it's historical, like things that were emphasised in the Reformation and things that weren't, and one of them that wasn't emphasised was union with Christ. Another reason is because it's hard for us to get our heads around, isn't it? It's kind of abstract. And so when we're trying to understand what the Bible says, it talks about us being, we've died and our lives are hidden with Christ. This stuff, it's hard to get our heads around. And so sometimes we just get onto the bits that we understand more. Maybe another reason is because there's not any one passage that really sort of majors on it, which is why it was hard when Owen said, what's your text for Sunday? And if you're giving it an intro about union with Christ, it's difficult to find one place that really nails it, because it's everywhere. Even if you think about the term Christian, how many times does that come up in the New Testament? Maybe three. The idea of being in Christ is like there hundreds and hundreds of times. I think it's about 250 times. Now, so there's some reasons why it's neglected. Well, think about pizza for a second. Now, When you think about ordering a pizza, what do you think about? You think about the topping, don't you? So we call it, we name the pizza based on the topping. And so it's a margarita, or it's a meat lovers, or it's Hawaiian, or whatever. We often don't think about the base. But a pizza without a base isn't really a pizza at all. It's just a massive glump of meat and melted cheese and vegetables. Now, it still can be tasty, still can feed you, but it's not really a pizza. Now, I couldn't even find on Google a picture of a pizza without a base. Now, what's your understanding of union with Christ, and how important would you say it is? I'd say that our concept of the Christian life, if we take out the idea of being united with Christ, if we remove that, then really, it's like trying to eat a pizza without a base. It doesn't hold together, because the concept of union with Christ holds all of our faith together. It's the explanation for everything we have. Now, that might sound like an exaggeration to you. I'll give you some quotes from more intelligent, respected people than me and see what they say about this idea. So, for you guys, Andrew Murray says this: the whole Christian life depends on the clear consciousness of our position in Christ. All fruitful teaching to believers must take this as the starting point. You are in Christ Jesus. Kevin DeYoung says this: the whole of our salvation can be summed up with reference to this reality. Whole of our salvation. Con Campbell wrote a big, really thick book studying just union with Christ in Paul's letters. And he said, union with Christ is the webbing that holds all of Paul's thought together. If union with Christ has been neglected, it ought to be recovered, since a faithful understanding of Paul is impossible without it. So when you get to these passages like Romans 8, you know, these hard to understand concepts, if we try and read them without this idea of union with Christ in there, they just don't make sense. They're hard for us to understand. If we read them with that lens of being united in Christ, all of a sudden things start to make sense that didn't before. John Murray says, union with Christ is really the central truth of the whole doctrine of salvation. So this is big, really big. Now, where do you find happy men on a Saturday? Where do you find them? Bunnings Warehouse. Okay, everybody knows this. Now, why, you know, why is it a mecca, especially for men? We never used to understand what browsing looked like or window shopping, and now we get it. But it's because everything you want is there. It's all there. Now, I like the local hardware guys. They're really good guys, and I want to support them. And the fact is, though, that when I want a part or a bolt or something, you know, and I've got a choice at the local hardware store of 5 different kinds of bolts, or I've got a whole aisle of bolts at Bunnings, you know, it's a bit of a no-brainer where you end up going. And so union with Christ is like this. It's all there. It's like, if you like, it's the Bunnings Warehouse of the Christian life in terms of what we get when we go to union with Christ. And look at the Christian life through this lens. Everything makes sense. It's all there. So how do you understand how to be righteous in God's sight? Union with Christ. Like I said, power, victory over sin, basis for living secure. How is it we can have a secure identity and live that out? Or how do we live a fruitful and spirit-filled life? How do we even understand the role of the Holy Spirit? Sometimes we find that hard to explain. If we understand it through that lens of being united with Christ, it makes sense. So multiple times, I'll give you another example. Paul talks about this huge mystery that's been revealed, right? What is that mystery? Have a look at these two passages and see if you can spot what that mystery is. Colossians 1, 25 to 27. Paul says this: I became a minister to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God has chosen to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so Paul's job is to make known this mystery. The thrust of the whole scriptures talk about it, and it's this mystery of Christ in us. It's huge. Now, I teach a primary school RE to grade fours in Brisbane, and you know, they call me Mr. Rich, and so just about every week one of them says, "So, are you rich?" And I give them a cheesy answer. I say, "Well, I am, but not with money." Now, if we can, what's Paul saying here? There's this glorious riches of this reality that we need to grasp. We need to understand just how rich and wealthy we are because of our union with Christ. Now, I wonder if you know the riches of the glory of being united with Christ. Do you understand how rich you are? If you belong to Christ, do you view yourself as being a rich person? Do you view yourself as having every spiritual blessing in Christ? I think often we don't live like that. We often live like poor people. We often live like orphans. Jesus said, I don't want you to be orphans. I'm coming to you. And so we need to not live like orphans. It's a shame, isn't it? Imagine someone who's rich, spiritually rich, or someone in this, say someone in who's rich with money, but they don't know it. They go through their whole life without knowing that they have any money. They're living as a poor person. We'd say that's crazy. Now that can be us. Now have a look at Ephesians 5, 3, 5 and 6. Again, this mystery. The mystery of Christ is that the Gentiles, that's us, non-Jews, our fellow, presumably you're all non-Jews, I don't know, is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So what does the gospel deliver in us and accomplish in us? It's being in Christ, oneness with him and his inheritance. We get his inheritance. We get oneness in his body. So we get all of Christ. Now, without the concept of union with Christ, it's easy for us to be living in a mindset of what we once were, not grasping the present reality. But the reality of union with Christ changes everything. And so 2 Corinthians 5:17, if you want a good memory verse to go away and memorise after this talk, would be 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the old has gone and the new has come. The old has passed away and the new has come. That's already happened. If you're in Christ, you are a new creation. Now, how does this come about? So, third point here. What we call regeneration, or being born again. Okay, this is how it all comes about. Now, how does this happen? How do we get united with Jesus? Well, if we rephrase the question to say, how does someone become a Christian? You can answer that question, no worries, and say, well, by faith in Jesus. Okay, but what happens? What actually happens if someone puts their faith in Jesus? It's not just that they pray a prayer. It's not just that they say the words and make a commitment. Something massive, something cosmically massive happens in the spiritual realm when someone comes to faith in Christ. This huge, powerful event, when they're born again. And think about that event. What actually happens? The old nature, that old person, that slave to sin is actually crucified with Christ. This is the way the Bible talks, is that we were crucified with Jesus when we put our faith in him and raised anew with Jesus. And so it's effectively like we were on the cross with him when he died and we were raised with him when he rose again. This is the way the Bible speaks. It's strange, isn't it? It's kind of abstract and strange, but this is the way the Bible talks a lot. Now, obviously, what does it mean to be crucified with Christ? Obviously, it's not physical. We're not talking about... We weren't there. We're talking about a spiritual reality. Have a look at Galatians 2:20. I have been... Not I will be one day, or I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. You see the reality of that. So I've been born again. I've been crucified with Jesus. And then Romans 6:5. We have been united with him in a death like his. And so... when you put your faith in Jesus, you are crucified. That sinful nature what we once were is gone because we were crucified with him. This seems like a really strange idea. What does it mean to be united with Jesus in his death? Now, I love stories of prison breaks, and I think my favourite prison break is Count of Monte Cristo. Okay? Now, this is one of those books, one of those rare times, I reckon, where the movie's better than the book in the end. You might disagree with me if you've read it, but I really like the way the movie puts it all. But the prison break is the same in pretty much both and in this movie. So I'll tell you about this. So what happens is this guy, this main character, Edmond Dantes, he's wrongly imprisoned on this island. No hope of rescue, really. Doesn't look like he's ever getting out. I think it was 17 years or something. Can't remember how long it was. Cruel and lonely imprisonment. One day, this old man accidentally digs into his room. This old man's trying to dig out of the prison and digs accidentally into his room. And they they become good friends, and you know, he learns a lot of things from this old man. But then, as the movie puts it, one day they're digging, trying to dig out of the prison, and the tunnel collapses on the old man and he dies. And so Dante drags him back into the prison cell, and then he realises he's got an opportunity to escape. Because what the guards do is they'll come in and they'll put him in a bag, sew up the bag. So what Dante does is he swaps cells with the guy, and he puts the guy's body in his cell, and he goes and sews himself up after they come in to sew up the bag. He actually replaces himself. I'm not explaining myself very well. He sews himself up in the guy's bag. And so when they cut, they leave, they sew him up in the bag and leave. He comes in, replaces himself, and then they come the next morning to throw the bag into the ocean. And so this is what they do. And so instead of throwing the old man's body out, they're throwing this live man out, and he escapes. Now, he, in a sense, this guy Dante unites himself in the death of this old man and thereby gets out of prison. So you think about why this old man was going to be thrown out of prison. It's because the law was done with him. The law didn't have any grip on him anymore. You know, he had died. This is exactly how the Bible speaks about us. It's like once we die with Christ, we crucify with Christ, the actual law has no grip on us anymore. It's done with us. So being united with Jesus is huge. It means we're actually free from sin's dominion. Have a look at Romans 6:6-7. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that sin's dominion over the body may be abolished, so we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For anyone who has died has been set free from sin. So if you believe in Jesus, then actually you've been united with him in his death, and you've actually been set free from sin. Now, not only does the Bible talk that way, it talks about us being raised with him. That we're not only crucified, but raised with Christ. And so have a look at Ephesians 2, 4-6. And now think about this. We do rightly talk about our future resurrection. One day I'm going to be raised from the dead and be with Jesus forever. That's exactly right. But this is a way we don't often talk. This is past tense. Look at this. God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you have been raised with Christ already through faith in him. Now this is huge. Now what changes when we're born again? What changes when we're united with Jesus? Everything. Eternity is radically different. And so is our present life as well. Remember what we said before. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. So your position is radically changed. So last major point here. We'll talk about this life-changing reality. What practical difference does this make in our lives? And can it really make a difference? Is this just a lot of theological theory that we're talking about? It can make all the difference in the world, even today, if we really start living this out, getting it and applying it. How do we typically approach the Christian life? Think about it. How do you approach the Christian life? If someone says to you, how are you going in your walk with the Lord? And often, what we naturally think is, well, not as good as I should be. And often we think about the fact that what we need to do to grow is become something we're not, that we need something more, that there's something lacking and I need something more. I need to try harder or do better or more self-discipline or get some new concept into my mind that's going to change everything. What we don't realise, and it's easy to be discouraged, isn't it? It's easy to feel like, well, the Bible talks about this gospel that has such power and the Holy Spirit has such power, but where do I see it in my life? It's just not happening. And we get discouraged. I think if we just grasp this reality of union with Christ, it can change the way we think about Christian life. Now, I'll give you another example of this, unpack it a little bit. Rory Shiner's a pastor, and he writes stuff about union with Christ, and he gives this illustration, I'm just stealing it. Let's say you want to fly to another city. How do you do that? How do you get to say, London? What relationship do you need with the plane in order to get to London? Is it by imitating the plane? No, of course not. You're not going to get to London that way. Is it enough to be inspired by the plane? That's not going to do it. Is it enough to be motivated to follow the plane? Well, you can try. Is it enough to submit to the plane or hold the plane in awe? That's not going to help either. What do you need to do? You need to be in the plane. You need to get in the plane so that where the plane goes, you go. And what do we need most in terms of our relationship with Jesus? What do we need most? Is it to be inspired by Jesus? Is it to be, that's good, these are all good, to be motivated to follow him? Is it to submit to him? Is it that we're imitating him? Those things are important, but none of those are actually what we most need. What we most need is to be in him. That comes first. And apart from this, all the other things do nothing. And so often we're thinking about, I've got to be more inspired by Jesus. I've got to follow him more. I've got to imitate him more. When what we just need to understand is you already have everything in him already. And we need to grow up in the reality that we already have it. We already have everything in him. So what difference will this make? Realizing this, that you don't need to get near to God. You're not far or close to God depending on how many kind of quiet times you've had this last week. If you're in Christ, then you can't be closer to him. You can't get closer to him. And you don't need to try harder to get closer to him. What we really need to understand is what we already have in terms of relationship with him. You don't need to strive to build an identity and security around relationships or possessions, because you've got Christ and he's everything. Do you have to get your act together to produce fruit? I've heard the illustration of people trying to, you know, it's like trying to staple, you know, if the apple tree's not producing fruit, someone goes and staples apples to the tree. It's like, what we need to do is just realise who we are already in Christ. He lives in me. That's all the power we need to produce fruit. So what does Jesus say? John 15:5. Abide in me, remain in me. This is this idea. You're in me already. Remain in me, grow up in this reality, and you will produce much fruit. So it's not about our sufficiency anymore. And I love this idea of union with Christ, because it's not about me anymore. It takes the focus off me, and it says Christ is sufficient. So it gives us both humility and confidence. Humility to say, it's not about me. It's not about me accomplishing this. It's Jesus in me. Did I just hit something accidentally? No. Oh, I hit the mouse. It's not about me doing it. It's Jesus. But at the same time, it gives me a confidence because Christ's power is in me. And so I have all the means I need. So what we need to do is just grow up in this reality, like the person who, Jerry Bridges in a book called The Gospel for Real Life, he talks about this African slave who was, you know, a loved sort of servant of his master. And then the master, I think the master died, and he gave basically this slave a huge inheritance, you know. And so the slave, having this mindset all his life that he didn't have anything, you know, he was told about this huge inheritance. He said, do you think I could have 50 cents to buy a bag of corn? See, we just don't get this concept about how we have it all already. We just need to grow up in that reality. Galatians 2:20 again. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's all about now learning to live by faith in him. And Paul says to the new believers in the Colossian church, and if you want a summary of the book of Colossians, a sort of a main statement, it's this one. Colossians 2:6-7. What does he say? So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord. So he's writing to new Christians. How do you grow as a Christian? Just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, and strengthened in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. So it's all been done for you already. Just grow up in that. Just realize that and live out all the implications of it. So it's really hard for us to grasp this because it's so simple. You're in Christ now. Live out the way you what you are. You're in Christ already. Live that out. Grow up in that and realize it and let that have its application in your life. So, you know, recently we bought a new dustbuster, and the previous one that we had, it actually was nothing wrong with the dustbuster itself at all. The problem was the recharge cord was wrecked. And so we eventually just ran out of power. We had to replace it because it ran out of power. The problem with us in the Christian life is not that we are lacking something. Christ, we've had everything we need. The problem is we're not thinking about the fact of connecting in with that power source, that we are forgetting that we're already in Christ. We're trying to do it on our own. Now, Christ lives in me all the time. So we've got to draw on that. Now, I'm just going to close with one example of this guy, Hudson Taylor. You've probably heard him, named one of our boys after him. And he's a famous missionary who went to China. And there's a book called Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. Now, I'm going to spoil it for you and tell you what his secret was. So I'm just going to read out a quote. What was his big spiritual secret? And it's this whole idea of he just got the fact, and it totally changed his life, when he just got this idea of being united with Jesus, that he already was united with Jesus. And he said this, I'm not going to read this out, but he was trying all these ways to be more godly, more spiritual, to enjoy Christ more, and nothing was really working. He was trying to be more faithful. It didn't work. He said this, when my agony of soul was at its height, the Spirit of God revealed to me the truth of our oneness with Jesus as I had never known it before. It is a wonderful thing to be really one with a risen and exalted Saviour, to be a member of Christ. Think what it involves. Can Christ be rich and I poor? The sweetest part is the rest with which full identification with Christ brings. I am no longer anxious about anything as I realize this, for he I know is able to carry out his will, and his will is mine. It doesn't matter where he places me or how. That's rather for him to consider than for me. It little matters to a servant whether I send him to buy a few dollars worth of things or the most expensive articles. In either case, he looks to me for the money and brings me his purchases. So, if God should place me in serious perplexity, must he not give me much guidance? In positions of difficulty, much grace. In circumstances of great pressure and trial, much strength. There is no fear that his resources will prove unequal to the emergency. And his resources are mine, for he is mine and is with me and dwells in me. So he got this idea. Now, what difference would it make, just in closing, what difference would it make in your life to really grasp that reality? What difference would it make? How would it transform your life, your Christian life, to really get this concept like Hudson Taylor did about being united in him, just to really understand all that that means? I'll close by saying a simple thing. This idea is the whole of our Christian life, to be united with Christ. All of it comes back to this. So growing up in this reality is what we need to do. That's the task ahead of us. So we don't need to go beyond this. Everything is found here in Christ. So let's pray that the Lord will do that in us. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've already done. It's easy for us to forget this fact that we're already rich in Christ, that we have everything in him. It's easy to think, Lord, that we have to produce something ourselves, or we have to get closer to you by praying or reading the Bible or whatever, sharing our faith. Lord, we know the reality, Lord, is that what your scriptures say to us lay out so clearly is that we already have all of you. Couldn't be closer to you. We're the vine, you're the branches. We're one with you. Lord, just thank you for this amazing idea. Thank you for what you did on the cross. And Lord, we know we didn't deserve this. We didn't do anything to deserve you choosing us. And you said that passage. We didn't choose you, but you chose us and appointed us to bear fruit. So Lord, help us to remember that being in you, we have everything. Help us to grow up in this reality that, Lord, all is done for us already. And so, Lord, may we have peace because of this, confidence because of this, and strength to meet any trial you give us because of this. May we realize all of that is ours already, and grow up in this and encourage one another with these ideas, these truths. In Jesus' name, amen.